try to accomplish on this weekend, but one thing we don't want to look past is the reason that we have this weekend, right? Amen. So I'll be talking about, the title of my message is called The Price of Blood. The Price of Blood. And, you know, I don't purposely mean to offend anybody, but, you know, I'm not sure exactly how this is going to come out today. I mean, I'm just being honest with you right now. Hopefully I'll challenge you. So I really feel that we need to take our country back. You know, there's a lot of things going on that need to be changed. And so I'm going to try to hold back just a little bit. But I was thinking about this. I ran across an article, about a month or two. And it's called About the Black Robes. And it talked about how pastors were used in the Revolutionary War to be able to stir up the people, to be able to stand against the evil oppressors, which happens to be our friend now, England, you know what I mean? We're good with them now, but back at that day, it wasn't. So, I know pastors ain't supposed to get political too much, but I'll try not to, but if it comes out a little bit, you know, we're gonna have to play with it, so, amen? All right, so, Memorial Day, that's what we're having tomorrow, and this is Memorial Day weekend. It's about remembering, you know, those who have died, who have given their life, and we honor those who paid that ultimate price. As many of you all know, that's what we do on this weekend. And they gave their life, you know, in exchange for our freedom. And that should be really important to us. See, American blood has been shed to fight against big government control, communism, socialism, slavery, and evil religious ideologies. And we fought against those things. And today, this weekend, we want to honor those who have chose to stand between us and evil. And we honor those today. And I was thinking, how do you properly thank someone who died so that you may live? You know, I think about that with our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can give him other than our life. And I wonder about those soldiers. I want to challenge us today to think about, you know, they died for something that they really believe in. They believe in our nation. They believe in our cause. And that gives us, you know, a lot of rights and privileges. You know, I believe that everybody has the right to say something, even though I have the right to not to agree with what they say, right? And we always should keep that, you know, in the right perspective. You know, a quote from the Normandy Visitor Center, you know, that's where, you know, our troops, you know, landed, you know, on the beaches over there against all odds. And they just went and they kept coming until they took that land. And what was said there, if ever proof were needed that we fought for a cause and not for conquest, it could be found in these cemeteries. Here was our only conquest. All we asked was enough soil in which to bury our gallant dead. And if you look back at the history of our nation and the things that, you know, we have accomplished, we're a great land. There is some bad things going on, and I don't want to let the bad overshadow the good that we are doing. But, you know, our country doesn't go out and really try to take over other countries. We try to build democracy where the people then can vote. I mean, we live in a great land. Amen. And helped a lot of people. Yeah. You know, the sad thing is, you know, is that there's some people with bigger voices that have, you know, a lot of backing from the media that can really try to do some things to really undermine our country and try to rewrite history and try to change all these things, and it's not good. So how do we go about changing that? I mean, I don't know. How do we go about that? If you got some ideas, let me know. I know we can pray. I know the things we know to do, but I think we need to raise our voices, you know, and stop being afraid of what people call us. You know, if God calls me Christian, that's good enough. Amen? You know, that's all we need to really hold on to. The passage I want to look at today, and it's found in John chapter 15, verse 13. It says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Let's pray. Father, We just honor you today. We thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be able to die on the cross, to be able to save us from our sins. Also, we thank those who went and fought for our nation, you know, to be able to see freedom come. And Lord, we just thank you. We don't want to take that for granted. Lord, we pray for a special stirring right now in my life, Lord, in the gift you put in me. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate, and I bind up Satan from trying to steal the word in any way, shape, or form. And we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What I want to try to do today is try to tie a little bit of similarities between the life of a soldier and then the life of a Christian, what we can kind of glean from that kind of thing. First point I want to look at today is that, you know, soldiers are people who stand in the gap. You know, that's a Christian term. You know, we need people that'll stand in the gap. You know, I think we need to honor those who stand between us and evil. You know, there's a lot of evil out there. I wish it wasn't so, but evil does exist. And it does try to take advantage of the underprivileged and those who, you know, cannot protect themselves, because it preys on the most vulnerable people. And really, that's what's happened. It's happening, you know, all over the world right now. There's places that are under severe persecution by maybe crazy religious ideologies and communism and all these things trying to raise its ugly head again. You know, so all these things are going on, and yeah, they can't fight for themselves, and yes, sometimes we have to help them, and that's just what God, I think, has called our great nation to do. And it's something that has to be done from time to time. We need people who are willing and able to stand between us and evil. And I think that's the same for Christians. You know, we are the ones who have been enlightened, we're born again, we have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and then there's people who don't really know Him. So we need to be the people that stand in the gap for them. Somebody stood in the gap for us, so we need to stand in the gap for other people and to be there for them when they need us. Now, what happens is evil tries to come and it exploits people and it tries to put them in bondage. And in the nation that we live in and the things that we have to do, as long as there is evil, we will need those who are willing to go to the front lines and stand in that gap. And that's really what our military does. They go to all other nations and be able to stand in that gap and to be able to fight, to be able to set people free and help them. And like I said before, we don't try to colonize those nations. We don't try to make them American. We try to give them a free chance to try to start their own country. And we prefer democracy. I mean, we believe that's the best and it is good. I think democracy is a lot better than socialism, communism, and all those other isms out there. Because all those things, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I like to be able, if I'm willing to go to work and to earn things, I want to be able to use that money the way I see fit. I don't need the government telling me what to do with my money. I don't need them controlling me. I don't believe in controlling government. We need government. It was made for a reason, but not the reason where we're heading right now. And we need to turn that around. We need to change that in whatever way we can. See, our soldiers have gone where they had to go and do what they've had to do. And, you know, it's a rough life. I mean, you know, it's hard to have to go to war and to face those things and all the things. I mean, I've known a few people that's been in the military. And, you know, one of my neighbors, he's passed away. He was in World War II. And him and I spent a lot of times, you know, talking and different things. And he shared a little bit. I didn't pry. But anyway, you know, just some of the things that they've been through. You know, they had to load up and just head off to another land. I mean, we've had people, you know, when did kids, now I don't think they can do it lately, but, you know, 17-year-old kids lying about their age so they can go over and fight for their country. That's patriotism, people. That's people that believe in our land, in our country, and what we stand for. Amen. And we need to get back to that pride that we have. You know, America is no, you know, we don't think we're better than other people, but we should take pride in what we have and what we've worked for and take pride and be proud of that and all those things that we've done. You know, we started out as a Christian nation and all the blessings that God has just showered on us, it's just been amazing. You know, we all live in a world of give and take, and thankfully for the rest of us, there are soldiers who are willing to give whatever it takes. Okay? I've said this before, maybe several years ago. You know, a soldier is somebody that signs the check, but they don't date it because they don't know when it's going to get cashed in. And, you know, just the power of that love and that dream that they believe in. You know, I know that young people think they're invincible, right? We all did. But we know they're not, because some of them come home with a flag draped over their caskets. They paid the ultimate price for what they believe in. Is war stupid? Yes. But sometimes it's a necessary stupid. Because if we wouldn't be able to stand up, if our country didn't stand up and try to make this world a better place, there'd be a lot more people living under oppression right now. Now, something that really drives me, it's kind of weird, but it's not. I believe each and every person born on this planet has a right to determine the choices that they make. They should not be dictated to them by some power that will not let them reach their full potential. I don't like bullies. I don't like evil religions. I don't like communism, socialism, and all those other isms, because they do not help people to be all that God has created them to be. And we need to stand in the gap and to be able to see those things change. Because if we don't, you know, the world's going to be in a bad place. I'll be honest, if, you know, I speak American, I don't speak English because I speak slang. You know what I'm saying? But I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for, you know, soldiers, we'd be speaking, you know, Japanese, German, Russian right now. I'm not against those languages, but I like ours better. I like it the fact that, you know, we was able to determine our own way. We had people willing to fight for that. You know, we usually don't go looking for a fight, but we don't want run from one either. And see, that's what our military has to do. Like I say, I believe war is stupid. As you get older, you know, you see how precious life is. I think life is so precious. And, you know, and all the things, you know, that we do. And, you know, I just look back at the things that I used to do in my life to try to, I mean, it's a wonder I survived. You know, but now look back, I just see how precious human life is. See, that's one of the greatest gifts that God's given us, other than His Son, but He gives us each a human life. And that life, He gives us the right to choose. I mean, if God doesn't try to control us, why should we let anybody else control us? Think about it. The Creator of the heavens and earth did not make robots out of us to force us to make choices and do certain things. So why would we let some government or some people in Washington, D.C., who do not really have our best interests at heart, make our choices for us? You know, we need to get back and take back what's really supposed to be. I believe being a congressman should be a service, a sacrificial service that people do. It should never be a get-rich-quick scheme. And that's what it is right now. When they get there, it's about how much they can get. It's not about how much they can give. Now, not all of them's like that, but the sad thing is the culture there needs to be changed, because it's turning good people into people who are selfish. You know, so what do we do as Christians with that stand in the gap? We need to stand in the gap. So what's that mean? We need prayer warriors. You know, prayer should never, ever, ever be underestimated. We need people who are willing to pray, and that's what it talked about in standing in the gap. Because sometimes, you know, unbelievers don't know how to pray. Some people just don't pray. But we who are especially filled with the Spirit of God, those who have Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in our life, we need to stand in the gap, and we need to pray. You know, God's will be done, thy kingdom come, you know, amen. We need to see that happen. And we just need to trust that our loving Heavenly Father is going to intervene and move on our behalf. But we need to pray. We need to do something. Also, the church, what we do, we don't send soldiers. We send missionaries. But they're like a soldier. We send missionaries all over the world. Some of them don't come home. Those who have maybe given their life and, you know, things maybe didn't happen. I mean, I read all the early, and you should read some of them older stories of the first missionaries that went to China and to different countries, and how they just had this mentality that I'm going to give all. If I don't go home, that's fine, because my home's in heaven. Right. Amen? Amen? So they was willing to give their life, a sacrificial life, because they believed in the gospel, because they believed that if you do not know Jesus Christ, you cannot go to heaven. Excuse me. You cannot go to heaven. And that's how important it is. So that's why we send missionaries. And we need to pray for our missionaries. Also, you know, we need to have Christians who are willing to be Christ-like. You know, the word Christian kind of means Christ-like. I mean, that's what we need to do. We need to live like Christ. We need to act like Christ. We need to walk like he lived. And to, you know, Jesus didn't judge sinners when he was here walking the earth. He reached out to them. Yeah, there's a judgment day coming, but that judgment day is not right now. Right now is a time to sow and to reap. Now is a time to try to reach out and to try to bring as many people in. Many people in that we can to gather in everybody. You know, there's room in heaven for everybody. And that's what Jesus wants to do. So we need to reach out and we need to be willing to go to foreign lands. We need to be able to send money to foreign lands, to send missionaries. And we need to do all these things because that's what it means to stand in the gap for somebody. And that's, you know, what we as Christians need to do as our soldiers have done. Next point I want to look at is the idea the blood speaks. You know, there's power in the blood. I've been, you know, listening to a lot of songs lately and talking about the power that's in the blood. And there's so many out there and it just kind of, you know, just hits you, you know, about blood. You know, and the Bible talks so much about how there's life in the blood. You know, there's life in our blood and how that kind of comes together. See, many times the most important things in life have to be purchased by blood. Each and every one of us is one of those things. We were one of the most important things to God. God and his creation. When Adam and Eve fell and sin came into mankind, God always had a plan, always had a way to try to bring us back into fellowship. And it wasn't by us doing good works. It wasn't by us, you know, trying to work our way into heaven in the sense or going out and doing all these good deeds. But blood had to be shed, an animal sacrifice. There was life in that animal blood, but it only covered for a while until Jesus came. And there's so much power in the life of Jesus Christ that his life was able to destroy the power of death, which is separation from God. And I thank God for that. And we need to sing about the power in the blood. See, blood was both the price for our redemption as a Christian as well as our freedom as American. There's always been American blood shed in many different places for the idea of freedom and what it means. And we shouldn't take that lightly. Now, unless we're willing to repent, the blood of Jesus will be of no use to us. Now, I hope that don't sound sacrilegious to some. But the only way the blood of Jesus Christ will ever work in our lives is if we're willing to repent of our sins. And repentance is a little more than saying, I'm sorry, or I'm sorry I got caught. You know, have you ever had a kid, you know, that said they was sorry? And you could tell they weren't really sorry. They were sorry they got caught. And see, there's a difference. And see, if you're just sorry you got caught, the blood of Jesus isn't really going to work for you. See, what we have to do is repent. We need to turn because that blood is speaking out. The life force blood of Jesus Christ is crying out mercy. But the only ones that receive mercy are the ones that repent and turn from their sins, whatever that sin may be. Oh yes, I know we all sin. We all make mistakes. You know, we don't hold on to that sin. We don't try to cover up that sin and hide it. We just let it go and let God have it. And it's miraculously taken away. I could not believe it. You know, I've heard about it ever since I was a little kid. You need to repent, you need to repent, you need to repent. To me, that meant don't go have fun anymore. I mean, that's what I thought as a kid. I mean, my lightning quick intellect, I mean, that's just all I had. I mean, I didn't have much, but I had that. Well, that's when I really found out what it meant. It was like, I don't know if you've ever had to carry a bunch, I just helped my son move, and carrying all that heavy stuff, it was so good just to let it go. And see, that's what it's like when we repent and we just let it go to God. That whole burden is just lifted from us. It's just taken away. And we don't have to carry that anymore. That shame, that guilt, all those things that come into our life, it's just taken away. And there's power in that. Now, the Bible talks a lot about, in several places at least anyway, about the blood cries out to God. You remember when Cain slew his brother Abel? God said, where's your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? I mean, you know, Cain thought he was being a smart aleck. You know, I mean, I wouldn't get too smart aleck with God. I mean, I do know that much. But God said, hey, your brother's blood is crying out from the ground to me. So that should be a clue, people. That should be a clue about life in the blood. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, whenever, you know, the children of Israel, they would kill an animal to eat, they were supposed to cover up the blood, not leave it laying on the ground. So all these things kind of came into place. And what happened was, because that life blood is crying out, so Abel's blood was crying out to God. Then also we know that the blood of Jesus cries out. His life and his blood, it cried out. It cries out for mercy for you and I. He went there as a willing sacrifice. You know, Abel wasn't willing. I'm sure he didn't want his brother to kill him. But Jesus was different. Jesus willingly went, and he was innocent, and that blood cries out for you and I every day. So we should always know the fact that we need to come to him and ask that that blood cleanses, you know. I don't know about you, but I've needed to use the blood since I've been saved a few times. You know what I mean? Because there's power that's in that blood to set us free. I want to talk about some other blood that cries out. The blood of the unborn. So if the blood of Abel was crying out, and God can hear that, and the blood of Jesus cries out, what about the blood of those aborted babies crying out to God? How important is it that we stick up for the innocent? That's why soldiers go to war, to protect us from evil. We as Christians need to stick up for the innocent, the babies that are being slaughtered by the thousands. I know it's not easy to talk about, but it is happening still today. As educated, as enlightened as we say we are, all the information at our disposal. Now, fortunately for the pro-life movement is the fact that technology has caught up with the others. We can prove the heartbeat when it starts and all these different things about that little life that's being grown there. It's hard to look away from that. You know, we can't bury our head in the sand. It's important that we as Christians speak out and speak up. Oh, yeah, I know everybody has their own personal rights, and I see people sharing that on Facebook, people I know personally that say they're Christians. You know, I'm willing to roll the dice with my beliefs with God. Are they? Are they willing to stand before God knowing that they believed and take an innocent life, that blood that is crying out to God? That's a serious situation. And we need to take these things seriously. It's important that we want to turn these things around. So when will we learn? Hopefully we'll learn soon. I believe a soldier's blood echoes a cry for our country. They chose to lay their life down, you know, just like Jesus did. Now I know that, you know, I don't mean nothing by this, but, you know, back before Desert Storm, you know, a lot of kids went to the military because college was pretty good until they had to go to war. And that changed some things, didn't it? You know, I kind of changed the perspective why you enlist. You know, makes you kind of sort out some things. But I think for the most part, everybody that enlists knows there's that chance that when I sign this paper saying I'm going to fight for my land, I may not come back. And the reason why many are willing to do that, because they believe in the cause of our country. They believe in the ideals that has been instilled with us. We have so many great documents that has been signed by our forefathers. You know, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, all these things are just powerful documents. I think we need to go over them every now and then just to bring it fresh in our mind. But here I just wrote down three things that I believe, you know, that a soldier's blood, you know, when it's shed on the battlefield, it's crying out and why they did it. Number one, they shed it for freedom. You know, our country started with freedom from big government. Now, to me, you know, what it was is the fact, you know, they had taxation without representation. All that happened here, you know, where the England, the king and things were controlling things over here. And we weren't getting taken care of like we thought. So they thought we could do it better by ourselves. Amen. And so they were willing to die there. And I believe that, you know, when soldiers die, You know, they give because they want our country to remain strong and remain great with the ideals on which we were started. You know, we live in such a great land. I've been in many countries, and I always come home. I'll be honest, lately I've wanted to leave, but I know this is where I'm supposed to be. I don't like the way things are going. I don't like the way, you know, that certain group is trying to change history and change things to make it sound more palatable to them. Hey, it is what it is. And we need to learn from history, not change it. That's how it works. I mean, there's some things I did. You know, I remember, I just went through my mind, you know, one time we was taking care of my little sister. I was up with my great-grandma. And I remember, you know, touching, you know, we need to warm up the bottle. So I was going to go check to see if the stove was on. Well, guess how I did it? I put my hand on the burner. I learned from that history. You know what I'm saying? I still remember. Number one, I got in trouble because I did something stupid. I don't know. Back then, you got in trouble when you did stupid stuff. I don't know. You don't get in trouble anymore, it don't seem like. But I did something stupid. I got spanked. And then I got a bandage on my hand. It took a while for that to heal up. But I still remember that history. And history's important. You know, I know that, like, when we don't do it as much, my family here, my wife and I, but, you know, every now and then we visit the graves. I remember doing that when I was a kid. And, you know, my great-grandma, I mean, she's the one who babysat me a lot, so that's why I use her a lot of illustrations. Nobody else would have me. I mean, that's how hard it was. But anyway, you know, she always grew these peony bushes. And then she would get a coffee can back when they were tin, and she'd wrap it with foil, and then she'd put the flowers in it. That was her flower vase, and we just did that for years. And we'd take the flowers over there, and then she would tell stories, and my family would, about the people. And see, that's what Memorial Day is about. It's remembering them stories, those stories about your family, and how important it is that we kind of carry on, you know, some of those traditions. And things like that, you know, and you know, I still, it was a, and then we'd have the military would come and, you know, they would, you know, shoot their guns and then you'd hear them play taps. Somebody would play it close and then somebody would play it far away. And they still do that at funerals here. I mean, we have a great community. You know, we have enough military that they'll, if you ask them, they'll all go out and they'll do the 21-gun salute and seven of them, I think, will shoot three times. And then we'll have somebody, of course, the funeral home plays it with a little trumpet. It's not a real, they don't blow it themselves, but it's in the trumpet, and they'll do that. I mean, if you've ever, you know, you've all seen military funerals. I mean, it's a time to remember. And then watching them come up and fold the flag. You know, all those things. It's just kind of, it's part of our history. It's part of how we honor people. And I think we need to honor those who sacrifice. It's just part of our duty. Our duty as an American and what that all entails. So freedom, and then the second thing that I believe soldiers did, equality, that no person is better than anybody else. That is something that is instilled to me. I don't know if my parents put it there or God's just put it there or what it is, but nobody is better than anybody else. Nobody needs to get their nose out of joint thinking we're better than anybody else. We all have an equal shot here in America. I know there's those that say maybe not enjoy that all the time, but the Bible says they're Jew nor Greek, you know, there's male nor female. You know, everybody's equal in God's eyes, and we need to try to do that. We need to try to treat people that way. That's why I believe that's part of what soldiers died for. And lastly, you know, the third thing I think they died for, there was other things, but it's choice. I think we all have one voice and one vote. One voice, one vote. Other people may have a different voice, they have a different vote than us, but that's part of being equal. It's not about trying to change things or control things. So all these things come into play. And that leads me to my last about, I want to challenge us that not to let their death be in vain. You know, like I said, war is stupid, but it's a necessary stupid. And people do die. And yes, it was their choice. I know. They chose to lay down their life. And that was what they did. But as we look back at that, you know, I think of two things. I think of the life of a soldier who laid down his life or her life, and then the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down their life. You know, and nothing I think is more insulting is when we allow some more than generous deed like that. I mean, there's not a word, it's a sacrificial thing, to let it be in vain. And I believe a lot of people, you know, in our country have gone that way. They don't really understand the concept of the cost of what it means to be a great nation. What it means to hold your place in the world and to be a beacon for people to look to. I mean, even with our problems, you know, people are still willing to break the law to get in our country, aren't they? You know, they're coming in our country illegally. So even with all our faults, I mean, people still want to come here. And I do know how important it is that we try and to uphold that greatness in a way that we try to make it a great place to live. Because like I remember, you know, hearing all the stories as a kid, a young man growing up about, you know, our family and our forefathers, and then also hearing stories about those who went away and didn't come home. I remember, you know, some of my neighbors growing up. I was just probably, I don't know how old I was, 6, 7 years old. And, you know, all of a sudden, the neighbor boy was gone. He went over to another place, and then, you know, he never came home. A kid that I looked up to, somebody that I admired, he would tease me a little bit. And, you know, I thought I was helping, you know, but really I was more in the way, you know, when we were farming. You know, but I remember that. Never came home. I still remember those stories being a part of my life, and you know how much we, you know, admire those who are willing to do that, because it's so easy for you and I to get caught up in the busyness of life. We're so busy trying to maybe build our kingdom, we forget about God's kingdom. But I'll be honest, based on the direction our country is going, on Memorial Day, we need to ask ourselves, are we allowing our soldiers' death to be in vain? You know, I know it's frustrating. I don't know about you, I'm just telling you my heart a little bit. It's kind of frustrating because it's so hard to see change. It doesn't happen as quick as we want. But it seems like, you know, our country, you know, with all the different things, you know, and the devil is really smart. I hate to give him that credit, but he's gotten into the schools. And he's starting them off at a young age, believing things that are just a little off. I mean, it's not totally opposite. It's just veered a little bit. And see, but if you're going a long ways and you're off 10 degrees, you're going to be way not where you're supposed to be when you get there. You're going to be in the wrong spot. And there's so many things that are being taught in public schools. I mean, I'm not going to bring up one because I know I'll get... Nobody here would probably hurt me, but I do know the hate mail I get. But the one that I read the other day that was this ridiculous, out in California, they were passing a law, something about that if you're good at math, you couldn't take accelerated math, you had to stay back with everybody else. To make everybody else feel good, I guess. I don't know why. Now, me... I'm okay with math, but after I hit algebra, to me, numbers and letters don't live together in the same, it wasn't me. But I had no problem. I knew other people, man, they were up there, they're going into calculus and all this stuff. I mean, they were smart. How many know we need smart people in our country? You know, I'm smart, but not with that. Well, we need smart people in math. So why would you hold them back? I mean, that's the mentality of the people making decisions for our children. And when you make it for the children, you've made it for the future. It just ain't right. How could these things be happening? And thankfully, we live in our state, Iowa. I mean, I believe we have a good governor and taking care of stuff. And I mean, not everything they do perfect. If I agreed with everything, we'd be identical twins, but we're not. You know what I mean? I'm a man, she's a woman. There's your first one. But, you know, we need, you know, to stop some of this senseless things And we not need to take, you know, I think when we're taking the sacrifice of those who died lightly. You know, does our action stand for what they believe for? Believe, you know, like, you know, just something simple as, I know these are lightning rod things, but, you know, standing for the national anthem. Just respect. That's all it is. You may not agree with everything that goes in our country, but you should agree that there's people that died. Amen. To keep that flag raised high on this in this country. I'm sorry. I mean, it's not, if you got other political things going on, there's ways to go about it, but that's just, you just turned off so many people when you choose not to do just the simple things, this little action. So Memorial Day should stir us up on the inside for a few things. Number one is respect. Respect is so important. Now, I do respect the fact that people don't have to think like me, but that's okay. I still respect they have an opinion, but by golly, I can express my opinion also. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I have to shut up. You know, that's just the way it is. I can say what I believe this country needs to have. I have kids, and I'm hopefully going to have grandkids someday. And I want them to have the same opportunities that I had. And right now, the way things are going, they're not going to have it. We need to change it. Number two, we need honor. We need to honor those. And that's just another thing about, you know, how when we see the flag or when we're around, we just need to pause and reflect. When we see that flag draped over that casket, when they're rolling them off the planes, you know, stop for a minute. You know, and think about that sacrifice. Yes, war is stupid, but it's a necessary stupid, because we need those who will stand in the gap for us. And lastly, excuse me, we need to be grateful. Because like I say, we do live in a great country. I know I'm picking on a little bit, but sometimes you got to poke a bear just to get him to move. Amen? And so, you know, we live in the greatest land. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. I'm so thankful. And, you know, if a soldier was willing to die for what they believe in, shouldn't we be willing to live for what we believe in? And that's something we need to do. And it's the same about our sacrifice with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how I want to tie this together. Does our actions stand for the values of that what our Lord died for? Life is precious. We get one chance. Everybody gets a turn, right? Except the aborted babies. They didn't get a turn. But everybody here that's listening to me today gets a turn. We all get a turn. And we need to not waste that turn, you know? And we need to try to do the best we can to live a life that'll bring glory for Him. So in closing on this Memorial Day weekend, we should reflect and ask if these soldiers died in vain. You know, as we look and see the direction that our great country's heading, are we living up to that greatness? If they died for that freedom, should we live for it too? And I want to challenge with that today as we close. So God bless America, amen.
Amen.
We live in a great land. But there's some things we need to fix, hallelujah. And that's okay, because I know we can do it. I believe that, I as a Christian, you know, I've done some missionary work, and, you know, we don't go over to other countries and try to make Americans out of them. We try to make Christians out of them. That's the best. And so I believe that you and I, as we close here today, I want us just to reflect a little bit. I have a song coming up about how the battle belongs to the Lord. And as we sing that, you know, it challenges us to get on our knees. That's when we're the strongest. Amen. You know, we need to pray. We need to turn this around. But also, we need to get up off our knees. And we need to go, and we need to speak our mind in a loving way. I'm not looking to poke the bear and stir up a big deal here. You know, but I do believe that words matter. Yes. What we say matters. Yes. And we need to be willing to speak out. Amen. Let's pray. Amen.